everybody. Welcome to what's technically the start of our double recording for this month's Real Geeks. Odds are this is actually going to be the second episode you see, though we are recording it first. And this is also our first film adapted from a stage production, The Island of Dr. Moreau, the musical. We are, of course, actually doing Cats, but let's be honest, close enough.
Yeah, no, same thing.
Now, y'all, I'm just going to come out and say it right now. Everything you have heard about this movie is absolutely true. Now, speaking strictly for myself, I have seen pretty much the entire catalog from Asylum Studios. I have seen Showgirls. I have seen that old Sean Connery movie whose name is embarrassingly blanking at the moment.
Oh, that one.
Because it was that, no, was that memorable.
No, further back. Starts with a Z and I can't think.
Oh, Zardoz.
Thank you, Zardoz.
Zardoz.
I don't know how I blanked that in this one moment. But I've seen that. I have seen the William Shatner film Incubus that was filmed entirely in Esperanto.
Okay, so now that you've gotten this long litany of movies that sound really bad, how do those compare to Cats in your opinion?
I'm glad you asked, because that's actually where I was going anyway. Because I tell you this, not to brag. I don't tell you this to establish some sort of cinephile credit. I tell you this so that you understand where I am coming from when I say this film is insane. And as with when we record episode 9, fuck the spoilers, we're skipping the general thing entirely. Because, oh my god!
There's nothing really to spoil, is there?
Now, the plot of this movie, and I don't care what other critics tell you, there is one.
Really? Are you sure?
There's a beginning, a middle-ish area, and a thing that is an end.
The entire film takes place in purgatory.
Kind of, yeah.
And now, why purgatory looks like a mashup of a Baz Luhrmann film and Dick Tracy, I don't know. But if you put this in France, this is basically Moulin Rouge.
Kinda, yeah.
I mean,
that's the thing. Moulin Rouge was heavily influenced by Andrew Lloyd Webber, and I'm actually going to distinctly break away and say this was the perfect Andrew Lloyd Webber film. This is the absolute pinnacle of his expression. And if you go into it having taken his cerebral spinal fluid out of his brain, dried it into a nice powder, and snorted that powder, you would see...
You'll be high enough to write this?
Exactly. You will see this, and it'll be like, oh, of course. I get the feeling that neither of you have ever had to sit through Starlight Express.
No.
No, I literally just discovered Starlight Express last night.
So the entire point of Starlight Express is it's a sentient train represented by people on roller skates.
Yep.
This is not the craziest thing that has come from Andrew Lloyd Webber. It's not the most straightforward, like Phantom or Jesus Christ Superstar or even Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. But this makes sense. Watching the whole thing, I'm like, yes, that is certainly overly sexed, and yes, those are certainly some visuals, but this all makes sense. And that's how broken I am.
I'm in the theater, and literally 2 minutes in, my jaw is on the floor, because there are, like, just the score?
Yeah.
Forget the plot, forget the visuals, just the score. There are points where I'd swear that this is lifting pieces of score straight from Doctor Who, and I don't mean the current Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I mean the Tom Baker, your entire music department is $20 and a department store synthesizer Doctor Who.
It was an experience. Yes.
Once again, that is pure Andrew Lloyd Webber, who creates entire operatic shows by making these scores first, releasing the soundtrack, and then working out a performance around the album. If you're wondering why, that's why.
So aside from all that, did you enjoy the movie?
Oh, hell yes!
Yeah, that was fantastic. That was way cheaper than the amount of drugs necessary to see that kind of stuff.
I went in as high on caffeine and sugar as I could possibly get myself without dying. And it was not enough! And, you know, like I said, the score is just... Half of it, it's like they didn't even try. And, like, 5 minutes after that, there's this milk bar that they just randomly break into as part of Rum Tum Tugger's number. Mm-hmm. That, okay, I'm sorry. As much as I had all sorts of jokes and psych gags planned for this review, and then I saw the movie, and I'm scrapping everything because there's nothing I could come up with that is this ridiculous.
Correct.
To be perfectly frank, my brother played a better Rum Tum Tugger than Jason Derulo when my brother was six.
So you had knowledge of the plot line or the story or whatever going into this.
No!
he did.
I tried.
He did, because the plot line literally is, like, if you're aware that there's a stage production called Cats, that kind of is the plot line.
Yeah.
Okay, so going into this, aside from Cats and Broadway hit and Andrew Lloyd, I had no frame of reference. None. I went into this stone cold sober. Big mistake.
Yeah. And, yes!
And partway into it, I'm realizing that I'm going through my list of things that I have to do today, because it's our Yule celebration at home today. So the fact that I was able to do that while watching a movie speaks volumes. And, like, I love Cats, not the play, actual felines. And I know about breeds. And, you know, first of all, Victoria looks like a Bengal, which is like she's a high breed. She's a fucking expensive cat. Why the hell would somebody drop a Bengal into a derelict alley? I have no idea.
That's more through line with Andrew Lloyd Webber. Yeah. Why is Christine so dejected in Phantom? She's clearly an ingenue and you know, amazing. But no. You have to take this young, bright, beautiful girl who no one ever notices and throw her in the sewer, and that's your show.
Yeah. And then you've got the calico, the cat burglars. Mm-hmm. Anyone that knows breeds knows that calicos are female. Rum Tum Tugger looks awfully male.
Complicated. Rum Tum, you're absolutely right on that. In the original stage production, Rum Tum Tugger is kind of a lot more gender fluid, and there's a lot more BDSM aspect to it.
Yes, that sounds interesting!
Oh, yeah!
But
Rum Tum Tugger and, I want to say, Mustafi?
That's the magician the tuxedo.
They're fucking.
Well, I mean, they're cats.
Yeah, but...
Animals are not specifically hetero.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Then there's Taylor Swift, who's singing about McCavity.
Yep.
And, oh, wait, there's one line in there. McCavity cat is a... What was it? Ginger cat?
Yeah.
No, he ain't.
Yeah, no. No. McCavity is played by Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Draw from that your own conclusions. What coloring and markings he has. It's not ginger.
When they bothered to give him markings...
Even just the coloring, he's not orange. Trump is more orange than he is. Okay, there's just... So those are the parts that, you know, are distracting me from the movie.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, Rumor Wilson and James Corden, I liked them.
Surprising.
I'm assuming that those characters are brought in for comedic relief.
Not really.
Oh!
No, but visually, Corden definitely was.
Yeah, like, he owned that part.
Oh,
as no. if it was written for him, but no, it was not written for
they're,
him.
They're not meant to be comedic
all
relief.
All of this is the show.
Oh, dear.
This
yeah,
is the
no,
show.
James Corden walks in half a costume.
Yep.
Like, I swear, it was like waist down. He did have fur. He did look like a cat. Waist up, makeup in a mocap suit.
Yes.
And then two scenes later, he's suddenly fully in costume.
It is adorable that neither of you have actually had to see the stage play and understand that all of this performance has previously been done with spandex and makeup.
Now, see, I know that.
Oh, yeah. Like, I know that's the like, fascinating thing.
This is okay. That is more like a late 80s nightmare.
Like, okay, so Dame Judi Dench is wearing a fur coat, as is Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah.
And McCavity is wearing one at some point in time as well. So yeah. I don't know how much of that is costume and how much of that is to try to blend
it represents
in,
that they're long hair.
Okay. Yeah. I thought.
I thought of you as soon as Judi Dench came on screen because that was my purple hoodie moment because yep. I want to know
yep.
who did old Deuteronomy kill and skin for that coat?
Now, I normally don't watch reviews or read reviews of movies. I don't want my take to be influenced. But I did look at one. I think it was one that you had posted.
Yeah.
And they're talking about the CGI. Now, yes, the CGI is bad.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, they're reworking it, and they're going to be issuing better copies to the theaters.
It's
so the CGI is supposed
better.
To be bad. It's so bad. It's bad.
There's day one DLC bad. For this movie!
Now, in this review, they specifically mention Judy and how the CGI keeps shifting off of her hands. So I was looking for this, and
yeah.
I realized all of the cats had human hands.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It wasn't just Judy. And they commented on how, you know, Judy's wearing a ring. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if that was intentional or what, but just there's so much in there that I can look at and go, what the fuck? Like, what? Like, it hadn't even started closing credits yet, and I pulled up my phone and I messaged these guys. And I just watched. And then I messaged my daughter, and I was like, literally, okay, so what the fuck did I just watch? Now, again, no frame of reference going into this. And Kira, bless her little soul. I should have just screen capped that. A tale about cats yearning to ascend, yet the only one nearest death does. And I'm like, okay. That's what I watched.
Yeah.
So if that was the intention, you succeeded. But I will say I loved Jennifer's version of Memories.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there like literally going, what the hell am I watching and why am I crying?
Oh, so, yeah. No, yeah. Jennifer Hudson is wasted in every other aspect of this movie.
Yes. Yeah.
She's there just to do memory.
And here's the thing. In the stage show, it's exactly like that.
Yeah.
You're sitting through all of this, like, okay, that's interesting, that's playful, what the hell was that? Everyone in the audience, to the point that when memory is over, some people actually leave, you're only there to watch memory. It's the entire point of having the album, going to see the show, going to see the movie. If someone ever offers you a part in Cats, and it's not memory, tell them to fucking die.
Yeah. Because, yeah. I mean, she did really good on that part.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Taylor Swift was great with her song, and then she was smart enough to get the hell out of the movie.
Yeah.
And with her, like, it's fascinating how, like, the song Beautiful Ghosts was written by her for this movie, mm-hmm. and she's not even the one who sings it?
Interesting.
Yeah. It's like but, the one new thing, and it so stands out as well.
But to go back to that milk bar one more time, and yes, I'm that fascinated by this set piece.
The terrific set piece.
It's also the perfect emblem of everything that is wrong with this movie. It's
perfectly foolproof.
It's this bar that is clearly designed for specifically for cats.
Mm-hmm.
It is not designed for humans in any way.
Correct.
But it is human-sized.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah.
hold on a minute!
Clockwork Orange, they had a milk bar.
The answer is yes. It's not only yes, it's that character from Rick and Morty going, yes! Yes! Yes!
And then after we come to Jenny Any Dots. Or Rebel Wilson playing Rebel Wilson.
Oh, I called a rumor earlier, didn't I? Yeah, it's Rebel.
And... what? Again, everything that is wrong with this movie is right there.
The mice and the cockroaches. So her character wasn't meant for comedic relief? Because they nailed comedic relief really well.
She kind of is in the sense that she's a dry introduction. It's like, listen, shit's about to get weird. So we're going to start with a really simple one that you can relate to. On a relative scale, relatively relatable.
I mean, I know most cats are a lot more graceful than her portrayal was. Again, was that intentional?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some cats aren't graceful.
It's that, like, they clearly brought in Jennifer Hudson just to do memory.
Yeah.
Rebel Wilson is clearly there just to do pratfalls.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, and Corbin's just there to kind of strut and be gluttonous. And Idris Elba is...
bad guy.
And technically,
I love
Satan.
Idris.
Yeah,
I love Idris.
I
he failed me in this one.
No, it was fantastic because he had the sense of weird, creepy menace that the character always had. There's no explanation for it. There is a general understanding that he's Satan to old Deuteronomy's God or what have you, maybe Messiah. But there is no explanation. The amount of detail and definition you get in this is more than ever is given. So this is more.
There are points where these dance sequences are clearly CG'd, and at one point the CG glitches.
Oh, does it ever?
Only like, one point?
Oh, no. No, the CG through 95% of this movie is awful.
Yeah, there's bad, and then there's glitch. Most of it's bad.
Yeah.
This is a glitch.
She actually flickered on the screen. And I'm sitting there going, no, Matrix 4 is next year.
I miss the flicker.
It is blinking, you miss
it. It is, but it's like, you see it and it's just, wow.
I'm still trying to figure out how Jenny Any Dots strips and has costume under her fur.
Don't think. It's cats. Don't think.
It
hurts.
It's not a film built for modern audiences whatsoever. This is built for up their own butt, rich, esoteric fans who were sick of seeing Les Mis on Broadway.
Let's see, Les Mis I liked.
Right. this is almost like a response or Les Mis. They're like combating ethoses to performative theater where one has to have meaning. Entirely. Every single thing in Les Mis means something and has context. And this is the opposite. And that's the point.
And,
I
was actually just about to go somewhere else, but since you brought up Les Mis, the amazing thing here.
Yes, yes.
y'all remember the movie?
Yeah.
But it's the same director!
Wow.
Yeah! and the same... weirdness applies to this and that. So in Les Mis, they didn't do any audio tracking. You sing the song in a studio and that gets applied to the video later. Everyone was live singing in Les Mis, which is why it's a little odd and really odd and then downright unbearable at some points. And in this, they weren't wearing costumes or makeup. All of that was added afterwards. And these are not how you do these. This is not how you make these movies.
You know what? I really don't know what else to say to this.
I give it a 4 out of 5.
and I know, like, as much as we've only been going for about a half hour with this, I know, like, you gotta get going. So.
I do, it's my Yule celebration day.
I have no problem just going to ratings right now, because it's just... I don't... Like, what else could you say about this that has not already been said?
I've been trying to give it a number. I've been trying to figure that out, and I think if I had some understanding of the production before going into it, then I could quantify my experience better. But I'm just, like, I'm wavering between a 2 and a 3 because I am that gobsmacked. I am just, I don't know. I am not the right audience for this movie. And I think anyone that, I mean, Kate, you have knowledge of Cats. Would you tell anyone that loves Cats to go see this movie?
Absolutely.
Okay, see, there you go.
Because it is a perfect, I mean it. I'm giving it a 4 out of 5 because for what it is, it's a stage or a film production of Cats. And the only reason it's not perfect as that is because obviously they have to do a day one patch. It was released unfinished. You lose points for having unfinished work.
Big time. Like, he said that if he had had his druthers, he'd still be working on it like the 20th, 25th.
Yeah.
And it was released the 20th, so...
And it for sure needed that. But for what it is, that's Cats. That's Cats. That's Cats.
Okay.
If you have a problem with that, then that is because...
Andrew Lloyd Webber is weird. Okay.
Yeah. Fundamentally, it is a fucking weird show.
And now... Of course, like, you said a 4, you said about 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Now, we all know about me and bad movies.
Yes, we do.
I was in heaven. Like, this is not a film. This is the single most fascinating train wreck I have ever seen. Like, I was telling a friend of mine pretty much right after, like, I saw it Friday night, and I was on Messenger Friday night specifically saying, this movie is a AAA video game where that day one DLC that fixes it is not coming. And then Saturday night came!
Yeah.
And they announced the day one DLC was coming! Which, I'm just mind blown by this!
Yeah.
And, again, I have rated bad movies on this show very highly in the past. So, I am probably about to shock the both of you, but I've been thinking about this since I left the theater.
Do it.
I have no choice. I have to give this a 0.
Oh my god!
I thought you were going the other way. I thought you were going to be like, it's perfect.
As much as I thoroughly... But like I said earlier, by the time you see this review... The fixed version will already be out. And even the fact that I am saying the word fixed in a movie about cats is in and of itself one last joke.
Technically, oh, spayed or neutered.
They should say the spayed or neutered edition. Perfect.
But... every movie that I listed when we first started... Was all terrible.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that I am famous for giving last year's Robin Hood a 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
And that movie is bad.
It's a bad movie. But that's a bad movie failing at being what it's even supposed to be. This is a bad movie succeeding wildly at being what it's supposed to be. And that only means that suddenly everyone in the world is waking up to the realization... that this goddamn ridiculousness has been here since the late 80s, and no one really noticed except for a hardcore group of nerds.
Like I said, every other movie I have mentioned is terrible, but Zardoz... like, probably just the budget on that thing would have explained so much.
Yes.
And
his pants the
Robin Hood, last year's Robin Hood, was style over substance.
Yeah.
Entirely.
It had no
brain. And it... No one on that film has made any effort to claim otherwise, but all those movies at least had the decency to be finished before they came out.
Machine stitching and all.
As much of a glorious train wreck as this is, there is no excuse for the simple fact that this was released incomplete.
You're absolutely right.
None!
I absolutely think, though, that it should have been released opposite Star Wars. Like, I think that's why. Because...
Oh, no doubt.
Not because anyone was like, oh, Star Wars is going to fail, or Star Wars this, that... I think that this is such an incredible gamble of, like, what do we release opposite Star Wars? It can't be bad or else it's just not going to make any money. It can't be good or it's a waste. Let's do something that makes people essentially bash their heads through the wall in confusion. It's the only way we're going to take the headline, no matter what Star Wars headline is. It's the only way we're going to take it is if we just go batshit insane.
But see, I don't think they should have tried to compete against Star Wars at all. I am not a Star Wars fan. But I know a lot of my friends are, and they are hardcore, and if you hear Star and Wars in the same sentence for a movie title, they're gonna go.
Yeah.
I don't know how this movie can fail. Because everyone that's been watching
it... found a way!
Oh dear.
Don't forget to hit those like and subscribe buttons, share this video with your friends, and drop us a line anytime you like.